This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفحسب الذين كفروا أن يتخذوا عبادي من دوني أولياء إنا أعتدنا جهنم للكافرين نزلا صدق الله العظيم. So the verse I recited before you is verse 102 out of the 110 verses of this 18th chapter of the Quran. A quick correlation between this verse and the verse that precedes it, verse 101 and verse 100. In verse 100, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَرَضْنَا جَهَنَّمَ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَرْضًا. On the day of Qiyamah, hellfire will be presented before the disbeliever and the criminal. In verse 101, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَّذِينَ كَانَتْ أَعْيُنُهُمْ فِي غِطَاءٍ عَنْ ذِكْرِ. Those whose gazes were supposedly veiled. They were veiled because they opted for blindness. فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they opted for blindness over vision. And yet in another place of the Quran, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُ الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَى. اشْتَرَوُ الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَى. They decided to barter and exchange guidance for deviation. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. So their trade did not prosper. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. And they were not guided. But on the day of Qiyamah, that veil will be removed, and the claim that they used to say, قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّا. Our hearts have been blocked. وَفِي أَذَانِنَا وَقْر. And there's deafness in our ears. وَمِن بَيْنِنَا وَبَيْنِكَ حِجَاب. And there's a veil between us and you. All this will be cleared. What would happen? يَنْذُرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارَ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِ. Now you will see hellfire with the naked eye. May Allah protect us. In verse 102, now, the rabt bayn al-ayat, rabt bayn al-ayat, the signs of the wisdom of the correlation between verses. In verse 102, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. You've heard the consequences and the repercussions of kufr. أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Do the disbelievers and the infidels still think, أَن يَتَّخِذُوا عِبَادِي مِن دُونِي أَوْلِيَا, that they can make my servants with my exclusion their helpers, guardians, and allies? Ibadi, according to many scholars, refer to the angels and the prophets who were worshipped by different groups of people across the time. Do they think that they're going to make my servants, my prophets, my angels, their gods and their partners and their allies? And the scholars of Tafsir also say, assuming that they can get benefit from them and this act of worship will rescue them. No. Inna a'tadna jahannama lilkafirina nuzula. Concluding portion of verse 102. Verily we have prepared. Inna, verily us. A'tadna, prepared. Lilkafirina, for the disbelievers. Jahannam, hellfire. Nuzula, as a form of reception. Right? So, nuzul in Arabic refers to ma yu'addu lil-dhayfi 'inda an-nuzul. When a visitor just comes home, how you welcome him and you receive him and you give him some, basic things to just tantalize his taste buds before you have your lavish spread and before you have your full meal. So, the beginning, the reception, just the starters. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to hellfire as their hospitality. Of course, this is tahakkuman bihi, as the scholars say, in mockery to them, in ridicule to them. As Allah says in other places of the Quran, فَبَشِّرُهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Tell them, there's some good news for them. And their good news is a severe punishment, So, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نُزُلًا. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That on the day of Qiyamah, when the occupants of hell will enter hell, may Allah protect us. Due to the intensity of the thirst, they will be compelled to drink any liquid that is offered to them. And then they will be made to drink boiling hot water. فَشَارِبُونَ شُرْبَ الْهِيمِ فَشَارِبُونَ شُرْبَ الْهِيمِ They will drink like how thirsty camels drink. They will drink like how thirsty camels drink. هَذَا نُزُلُهُمْ يَوْمَ الدِّينِ This will be their entertainment, their reception, their hospitality in hellfire. ثُمَّ إِنَّ مَرْجِعَهُمْ لَإِلَى الْجَحِيمِ The punishment of hell is still severe and intense. So that is verse 102. Verse 103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا قُلْ أَوْ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ say, should we inform you of those who are the worst of losers in terms of their actions? Nobody wants to be a loser, my brother, and nobody wants to be a failure, my sister. Neither in your academic career, neither in your business venture, neither in your travels, neither amongst your peers. Everybody wants to excel, achieve, and accomplish. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا Should we not inform you? قُلْ say, هَلْ should نُنَبِّئُكُمْ inform you بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ And basic Arabic will tell you that this is إِسْمُ التَّفْضِيلِ which means the greatest of all losers, the greatest. There are different types of losers and categories, but these are the absolute losers, and that's the losers of Akhirah. Because now the ruin and the consequences are eternal, and there is no chance to compensate in this world. You lost a year, you lost a month, you lost X amount of money, you lost a deal. You can try and atone for it, but once you've left this world, there's no comeback. هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا The losers, in terms of actions. The scholars of tafsir tell us, generally two things result in a person being a loser. Either it is nifaq, hypocrisy, may Allah save us, or it is incorrect aqeedah. And aqeedah is a very, very integral article of our faith. That is correct belief. The ulama say, that it is possible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive someone if his aqeedah and his belief system is correct, but he was deficient in terms of the execution of his actions. So he had the correct aqeedah about Allah, he had the correct aqeedah and belief about the anbiya, he had the correct aqeedah about resurrection, he had the correct aqeedah about the Quran. In terms of belief, his belief was spot on. However, he was deficient in the execution of those actions. There is, hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's clemency, grace and mercy will envelope a person as it is the discretion of Allah. It is the mashiyat of Allah. But if a person's aqeedah is not correct, his belief is not right, his belief regarding Allah, his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tawheed, the sahaba, the Quran, the divine scriptures, then I'm afraid the consequences of that is catastrophic. And that typically results in the destruction and the ruination of all your good actions. May Allah protect us. And hence, we need to be very, very particular about correcting our aqeedah, correcting our aqeedah. One quick thought here. When it comes to the adoption of means, So Islam is a very practical, pragmatic, user-friendly religion. Islam encourages us and impresses upon us to adopt means which is within the limits and the boundaries of the Sharia. We don't adopt a means which is forbidden. But what is within the means? Yes, we need to adopt it. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was told to build the ark before the coming of the floods. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to send the floods. Allah could have protected Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam without the adoption of the means. أَنَّ مُبَاشَرَةَ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمَأْذُونَ فِيهَا لَا يُنَافِي التَّوَكُّلِ أَنَّ مُبَاشَرَةَ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمَأْذُونَ فِيهَا The adoption of means for which Allah has given consent does not go contrary to the station of tawakkul and reliance on Allah. Of course, when the floods came, now the command of Allah was to board the ark. And the son of Nuh alayhi salam, Kan'an, decided to take shelter on the zenith of the mountain under the claim that it will give him asylum. سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ It will rescue me from the floods. And the father said, no, no, it's not going to rescue you. And from there we learn that the adoption of means which go contrary to the command of the Almighty, then that is against the teachings of Islam and against Iman. Because at that time the command was not to go and take shelter, but the command was to embrace the faith and board the ark. So in a nutshell, the scholars tell us, tarkul asbab, not to adopt means, not to adopt means, is a sin from amongst other sins. It is ma'siyah, it is a sin. We've been told to take the precautions, exercise the precaution, and take the different measures. However, reliance on precaution is kufr. Reliance on precaution is kufr. So we need to be clear. The adoption of precaution is necessary. And to avoid precaution or not to adopt precaution is a sin, is a violation. But to rely on precaution, I am driving slow, I have buckled up, I am not exceeding the speed limit, so now nothing can happen to me. No, 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 no. I cannot put my reliance on that precaution. And having put my reliance on Allah, I cannot abandon the precaution. Listen, I trust in Allah and I rely on Allah so I can drive at any speed. That is also reckless and that is also incorrect and that is also off the mark. The poem of that father who, when he spoke about his son, it's a very long poem and it's a very emotional poem in that he says that, I knew very well, تَخَافُ الرَّدَى نَفْسِي عَلَيْكَ تَخَافُ الرَّدَى نَفْسِي عَلَيْكَ وَإِنَّهَا لَتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الْوَقْتَ أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ وَقْتٌ مُؤَجَّلُ تَخَافُ الرَّدَى نَفْسِي عَلَيْكَ Oh my word. Oh my son, my inner self is concerned about your well-being, that you must not be afflicted with any harm. وَإِنَّهَا لَتَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ وَقْتٌ مُؤَجَّلُ Knowing very well that I cannot tamper with the decree of destiny. So where are you, my son? Where are you, my daughter? Phone me, message me, WhatsApp call me, video call me, SMS me, drop me a line, keep me posted, knowing very well that what Allah has decreed, I cannot change. But just my fatherly love and my motherly love for you is concerned that nothing must come to you. So the point I'm saying is adoption of means. Just I'm talking of one aqidah is necessary. It's important. It's correct. But reliance on that means is kufr. We do not rely on means. We rely on Allah. Listen, take this medication, you will be cured. No, 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 no. Take this medication, with the help of Allah, you will be cured. With the help of Allah, you will be cured. So the adoption of medication is necessary because that is what we need to do, we've been told. But it is subject to Allah putting cure in that medication. So just one important aspect, of course, aqidah is a great and a significant branch of our deen and our teachings. Okay, verse number 104. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنْعًا They are those people whose efforts are destroyed in this worldly life. الَّذِينَ those, ضَلَّ destroyed, سَعْيُهُمْ they're toiling. فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا in this world. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنْعًا While they assumed and they were under the notion that they were doing good things. I cannot possibly imagine the intensity of the regret of a person who had the incorrect belief and the wrong notion that what he was doing is right and correct and accepted. And then he appears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to discover because of the khubth in his aqidah, the distortion of his belief, that his actions have been rendered null and void. Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah speaks about a personal experience of his, that he was once traveling on the train and a person boarded the train going in a particular direction, and the person who boarded next to him assumed the train was going in a different direction. Anyway, he sat down in his cabin, occupied his place. He was quite happy and comfortable and settled. All is good, he's happy, everything is good, I'm heading to this direction. But he didn't take note, etc., you know, on the finer details, and somehow he got in. Of course, these were many years back where all those finer details were not, you know, monitored so closely. I personally had an encounter, and I know, as hilarious as it is, in a country in Africa, we got into the aircraft and we boarded the flight, closed the doors, welcome on board. This flight is now bound to Johannesburg, South Africa. And a person runs out from the rear and is like, sorry, I'm on the wrong flight. I'm telling you, this was a personal encounter, right? So obviously the authorities coming through somehow did not monitor, did not take care, or did not see his boarding pass correctly, etc. And you know what? It was just so hilarious and it was just so laughable. Okay, coming back to that incident, they boarded the train going in a particular direction. The person regarding whom the analogy is, he thought the train was going in a direction, but it was going in the opposite. He's happy, he's settled, he's good. Finally, throughout the night, they travel. In the morning, when it comes to the platform and it arrives at that station and he looks out of the window, he realizes, I was in the wrong direction totally. Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah says, at that time, it struck me. At that time, it struck me that the disbeliever is occupied his seat, he's moving in his direction, he's comfortable in his position, but he doesn't know this conveyance is not moving in the right direction. And I'm fine, there's amenities here, food is good, company is great, all is looking well. But when I arrive at my destination, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We will focus our you know, grandeur and magnanimity on whatever they have presented, and we will reduce their actions to scattered dust. A verse of the 19 Jews, first page, Surah Furqan. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ أَلَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ. Those whose toiling will be destroyed. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. And these were those people who assumed, I was doing the right thing, I was doing the correct thing. We got to constantly ask Allah for guidance and seek the guidance and be sincere, because that's the promise of Allah. If you sincerely ask, and this is what I always say, I've had many, many dialogues, discussions, / debates with fellow non-Muslims, travelers, etc., etc. The topic gets into religion, he shares his thoughts, I share my thoughts in a very respectful, dignified, good way, respectful. Because remember, when you invite into Islam, Allah says, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil maw'idha. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Right? Invite towards the deen of the Almighty. Invite towards the deen of the Almighty. It is the verse of the 14 Jews, chapter 16, Surah An-Nahl. Invite towards Allah with wisdom. Wal maw'idhatil hasana, and good advice. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And let argument be the third option. And that also the Quran qualifies it in a good way. On the first page of the 21st Juz, right? In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Do not argue, but in a dignified way. So I always say to them, you have your opinion, I've shared my thoughts. I can say to you clearly with no fear of contradiction, tonight when you retire to bed, my brother, then just say, Lord God Almighty, whoever you are, I am seeking the truth. Guide me to the correct religion. And I have no doubt, if you are candid and honest and sincere and you make that supplication, Allah will guide you to Islam. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. A verse of the 25th juz of the Quran, Surah Shura, Allah says, I select whomsoever I wish for guidance, and I guide anyone who seeks it sincerely. Okay. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. Verse number 105. Who are those whose efforts and toiling will be rendered null and void? Those who disbelieve, who make kufr. So kufr is deplorable, despicable, unpardonable in the court of Allah if you died in the state of kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the parents or the family of a Nabi, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم. ما كان للنبي, it is not correct for a Nabi, والذين آمنوا and for the believers, أن يستغفروا للمشركين, to seek forgiveness for the polytheists who have died as polytheists. ولو كانوا أولي قربى, even if it is your relatives, من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم. Now, many people find this difficult to digest. You go to any, school or tertiary institute, they have certain subjects which are compulsory. You will not be given the next grade if you don't pass your compulsory subject. The entry into Iman, into Jannah, Iman is your compulsory subject. You could have well done and excelled. You could have even excelled others that probably took position in those non-essential subjects. You know, you were great, you were amazing. But when it came to your core subject, it came to your compulsory subject, you failed. Sorry, sir, you got to repeat the year. Sorry, we cannot allow you the promotion. Sorry, you know what, you have failed your core subject. The core subject of entry into Jannah is Iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannatu adni yadkhulunaha wa man salaha min abaihim wa azwajihim. In Jannah, they will be made to enter with their parents, siblings, spouses, provided there is nobility, meaning they have Iman. And that we can only hope, wish and pray, my brother, my sister, because I cannot talk loud and you cannot talk loud. Life is evolving, it is changing. We need to desperately beg Allah that He does not deprive us of Iman. It is His kindness, His grace and His mercy. And we need to constantly ask Allah to save us from uttering or doing things which will result in the invalidation of our Iman. And beg Him to guide us to utter those things which will preserve and affirm and keep our faith and Iman intact. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, those who disbelieved in Allah, وَلِقَائِهِ, and in the meeting with Allah. فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Shirk, polytheism, disbelief will result in the invalidation of your good deeds. I always say there can be no greater act of reward for a disbeliever than to be blessed with Iman. And there can be no greater punishment for a believer than to be deprived of Iman. When Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, and he was very generous, so he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will my generosity as a non-Muslim be, will I be compensated for it? Will I be rewarded for it? I was very generous, and there are so many incidents of his generosity. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, aslamta ala ma aslafta min khair. Allah has rewarded you for your generosity as a non-Muslim by blessing you with Islam. Wow. Wow. The greatest reward you can get for any act as a disbeliever is to be privileged with Iman. And the greatest punishment that I can suffer or any Muslim can suffer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys our Iman. Was it not those two people who were arguing in the authentic hadith, and one said to the other, Allah will never forgive you. And Allah said, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيَّ أَنِّي لَا أَغْفِرُ لِفُلَانِ. And who's deciding for me that I will not forgive? Who's deciding for me that I will not forgive? I have rendered your good actions null, and I have cleared the slate of his evil actions. Both are on par now, start fresh. Yes, this is in the authentic narrations. Of course, when a person dies with disbelief, then it is not us passing the judgment. We are only speaking about the judgment that Allah has passed. Allah has passed His judgment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive the fact that anyone ascribes partners with Him. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. There will be no scales, no weight that will be established for them on the day of Qiyamah. Obviously, because of the absence of Iman, it will not have any weight or any meaning. It will not have any strength on the day of Qiyamah. Furthermore, in verse 106, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ بِمَا كَفَرُوا وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوًا. ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ. This hell will be their punishment. because they disbelieve. بِمَا كَفَرُوا, right? بَسَبَبِيَّ, because they disbelieve. وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوًا, and they made my signs and my prophets a mockery. So the worst form of takdhib is huzwa. If one is, you say, I don't accept the truth, that itself is bad. Remember the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-kibru batrul haqqi wa ghamtu nas. When the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ, what's the definition of arrogance? He said, arrogance is to deny the truth. Even if you do it in a humble way, that's being arrogant because you're denying the truth. You are refuting the truth. Al-kibru batrul haqq wa ghamtu nas. And to consider other people to be inferior. To consider other people to be inferior. But the worst form of denial and refutation is mockery. Oh, really? Oh, I can't believe this, man. Oh, you're having a laugh. Oh, kid me not, man. You're kidding me. Really? There's a day like resurrection. Okay. What did Asb bin Wa'il say to Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu? He was owing him money. Oh, really? I owe you money. Okay, you know what? I believe you're talking about this other life. I'll pay you there. Yeah, you must come and collect it. What? أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you seen this arrogant person who's saying, I'll get wealth and children in the next life? Allah said, كَلَّا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ. You'll lose what you have, never mind get more. You won't have anything. So, ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ بِمَا كَفَرُوا وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوًا. Is that the worst form of kufr is the denial of the truth. The denial of the truth. And that also is in a mockery. When you are mocking, that's the worst form. One is you haven't accepted it, that's one thing. But mocking the truth is the worst form of denial. ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ بِمَا كَفَرُوا وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in different verses of the Quran, how the disbelievers mocked, how they disbelievers mocked. So on the day of Qiyamah, they will suffer a severe consequences. They will suffer. In fact, Hassan Basri rahimahullah used to say, Hassan Basri, and I read this myself, he used to say that the munafiqeen, because they used to like fake, they were superficial, they were lying. We Muslims, no we're not. And they played like this dual game. So the munafiqeen will be mocked at, a door of Jannah will be open and they will be invited, and as they will come close, the door will be shut upon them and bolted upon them. Can you imagine that consequences and that, dealing with that in Akhirah? May Allah protect us. ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ بِمَا كَفَرُوا. This is their consequences, their repercussion, hellfire, بِمَا كَفَرُوا, because of their disbelievers. Because of the kufr, وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوًا, and they made my messengers and my verses a mockery. And then we move on to verse number 107, and this is the general pattern of the Quran. Allah contrasts it. So if Allah speaks of hell, then He speaks of paradise. If He speaks of evil, then He speaks of good. If He speaks of His punishment, then He speaks of His mercy. And that's the general pattern of the Quran. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Jannah. May Allah make us from amongst them. You can only rejoice when we die with Iman and that we have been entered there. Of course, it gives you hope and gives you excitement that Allah has made us amongst the believers. And hopefully, but we cannot be loud and arrogant because we don't know how things can change. One slip up, my brother, one slip up. I mean, I keep on saying, and I've seen this so many times, you go to these embassies and you furnish those documents and you submit that document, and all they say, you know what, you were supposed to fill in the form in blueprint and you did it in black print. Sorry, you know what, we're not going to accept your application. No, but, I mean, sorry, sir, you were supposed to read there. You need to do it in black print. You did it in blue. Sorry. Your photo size doesn't satisfy the requirement. Sorry. Declined. Like it's so finicky. It's so meticulous on such a... And this is their discretion. And that's it. The ambassador has the prerogative to approve or decline. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king of all kings. It is His right. It is His authority. It is His... domain. Everything belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. So we don't know how. That is why I often say, and recently I was saying it to my siblings and family, that, you know, sometimes we give charity and we say, oh Allah, if I have erred, oh Allah, if I have slipped. So I said to my family, no, let's not say that. Say, oh Allah, I have erred. Oh Allah, I have slipped. Oh Allah, I'm giving charity, forgive me. Not if, I have. I was arrogant to my employee. I was haughty on the road. I was abrupt to someone. My body language didn't come across right. I gave off the notion that I'm superior. I'm not saying, oh Allah, forgive me if I have erred. I'm saying, I have erred. My Allah, I have erred. I beg you, don't take me to account for my mistakes. Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive me. Anyway, we move forward. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. Verse 107. As for those who bring iman and do righteous deeds. Study the Quran, my brother and my sister, as we draw towards the end of this amazing chapter of the Quran. And I trust you enjoyed this journey with me. And I hope that it will spur you on to continue your quest of the knowledge of the Quran. That's been my hope, my dream, and my vision. I always say it's my dream that we're standing in Salah and the Imam is reciting a passage of the Quran and the entire congregation has understood not the translation, but the commentary and the related sciences of that portion and passage of the Quran. And everybody is traveling along with that recitation, understanding the depth, the injunctions, the correlations, the context, the commentary, and all the related sciences. Wow, wow, wow. That would be, what a dream, what a dream. May Allah give it to me. May Allah grant it to us all. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who bring iman, but follow it up with the performance of righteous deeds. كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. They shall definitely receive their reception in the gardens of Jannah. They will definitely receive their reception in Jannatul Firdaus. Okay, a quick reflection. Iman coupled with good deeds. So we need to be constantly doing good deeds. Kanat lahum, for them there is Jannat Gardens Al-Firdaus. There is this academic discussion here and the grammarians, you know what Arabic grammarian and philologists speak about. Is there in the Quran non-Arabic words or not? So some say like the word Firdaus or Yakadu Sana Barqihi, Sana Barqihi. Is the word Sana also? It's in the meaning of Lam'an. Lam'an, of course, the brightness of the light, you know, when lightning strikes. So it's brightness. But is the word Sana again an Arabic word or was it made Mu'arrab? Was it made Mu'arrab? A word from a foreign language which was used into Arabic and included and incorporated. So this is a very academic discussion. And some argue that Al-Firdaus is an Arabic word. Others say Al-Firdaus by origin is not an Arabic word. Those who argue it's not an Arabic word, then there's a further debate as in its origin. Was it Roman? Was it Persian? Was it anything else? Okay, Al-Firdaus, according to the hadith, is the highest station in Jannah. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha sa'altum Allah, when you ask Allah for paradise, fas'alu Allah al-firdaus, fas'alu Allah al-firdaus." Then ask Allah for firdaus, ask Allah for firdaus. My brother, the beginning of Jannah will be when the dweller of Jannah will enter Jannah. What will he say? وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّ الْحَزَنِ. Oh, it's so nice, it's so nice. We will never be depressed again. The beginning of Jannah is greater than the greatest bounty of this world. Show me one location, one position, one situation in this world where you can say that grief will not grip you. You could be on your throne, you could be in your palace, but grief is something that grips us each one at a different time or the other. Either we in a circumstances which warrants grief, or there are fears that are lurking in the back of our mind, which itself is a cause of depression. Which itself is a cause of depression. But in Jannah, as you enter, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّ الْحَزَنِ. Or grief is gone, sadness is gone, sorrow is gone. إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Allah is so grateful. Your entire month of fasting in Ramadan, my brother, don't for a moment think your Allah is not watching. Your Allah is going to reward you, my brother and my sister. My sister, the challenge you might have, that few days in Ramadan you were unable to fast and you need to observe it after Ramadan. This is something that Allah has decreed. Aisha radiallahu anha was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the journey of Hajj. And then she experienced her cycle. She became uneasy. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, هَذَا شَيْءٌ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ بَنَاتِ آدَمٍ. This is what Allah has decreed for the daughters of Adam alayhi salam. When Allah has decided it, embrace the decision of Allah. After Ramadan, make haste in observing that fast. But surely, إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. We do not let the good of the pious go unrewarded. That's not the system of Allah. So those who bring iman and do righteous deeds, for them is paradise. And the higher your nobility is, the higher your abode will be. Umm Haritha, when she came and her son was struck by a stray arrow, which claimed his life, and then she asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell me about my son. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, innahal jinan. Oh, the mother of Haritha, in Jannah, in Akhirah, there are many paradises. Wa inna ibnaki asabal firdaws al a'la. And your son has attained the highest level of Jannah. You say he has 6 A's and 7 A's and 8 A's and 100%. And this is his aggregate and that's his total. My brother, my sister, it all matters in Akhirah. I can talk till the cows come home. And if my Allah rejects it, I am gone. When Junaid Baghdadi passed away and someone seen him in a dream and asked him, so how did you fare before Allah? He said, Tahatil ibarat wa faniyatil isharat wa ma nafa'ana illa rak'atani raka'nahuma fi jawfil layl. All my exerting myself and doing this and that was rejected. But then the 2 units of prayer in the early hours of the morning, Allah loved it and Allah said, Junaid, I have forgiven you for that. A woman gave water, an immoral woman gave water to a dog and it impressed my Allah. It's the choice of my Allah. It's the discretion of my Allah. It is between hope and fear. يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابًا. And we need to strike the balance of this equilibrium. We need to have hope and fear like 2 wings in absolute balance and harmony. Because if either one of it loses that correct balance, then we'll become despondent or we'll become complacent. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Verse 108, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the dwellers of Jannah will dwell in Jannah forever. Khalidin. And you know what's the best part? In most of the verses, Allah says Khalidin, and then He says Abada, forever. Like forever. Like it's not going to end. It doesn't end. It's yours forever. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ إِلَّا مَوْتَتَنَا الْأُولَى وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. In Surah Saffat, the occupant of Jannah will say, hey, folks, are we not going to die? Yeah, wow, this is cool, man. There's no death. Inna hadha lahu al-fawzul azim. This is great success. You know, I had a friend of mine and he used to always laugh at me and mock at me. I wonder where he is. So Allah will ask, hal antum muttali'un? You want to see him? According to one opinion, that this will be Allah asking him. Fattala'a, he will be then given the opportunity to see a verse of the, you know, Surah Saffat. He will then peep and he will be given an opening and an exposure. فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. He'll see this friend deep down in hell. And then he will say, فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ قَالَتَ اللَّهِ إِن كِتَّ لَتُرْدِينَ. By Allah, you would have also destroyed me. وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ. If it was not for the grace of Allah that intervened, I would have been an accomplice in hellfire, but Allah has rescued me. Yeah, my brother, eternal. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. I don't know how to translate, man. Whatever you have and whatever you own is temporary, it's transitory, it's going, it will end, it will diminish, it will disappear, it will vanish. And what I got is permanent. It will never end. So you are in paradise forever. And then Allah says, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. They will not seek an alternation, a diversion, an exit. So number one, you will not be taken out of paradise, but even you yourself will not want to leave paradise. Now you might want to think, well, nobody would want to leave paradise. Hang on for a moment. Generally in this world, you get tired of a holiday. Yes, you get tired of a holiday. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. What happens to us when it comes to Eid? Unfortunately, and this is the reality, we don't know what to cook for Eid. Because we eat the best of foods throughout the year. There's no longer a delicacy left for Eid. Yes. There's no longer a delicacy left for Eid. Whatever you fancy, whatever you favor, whatever you love, whatever is your, you know, what tantalizes your taste buds, be it a barbecue, be it your biryani, be it your seafood, be it whatever you love. You eat it the whole year, like Eid day, you really don't know. And that's why I often tell people, you want to be happy. And what does Ramadan teach you to be happy? Every day you deprive yourself of food and suddenly there is a renewed excitement at the time of iftar. Throughout the year you're eating three times a day, you're not excited at any meal. And now a little change of exercise and you deprive yourself of some food from dawn to dusk. And every day at iftar there is a degree of excitement. Why? Because you have deprived. And really, that is what we need to do. Discipline will bring gratitude, will bring joy, will bring happiness. So in this world, you go for holiday, then you, hey, you know what, I'm tired, I need routine now. We had a good holiday, it's done now. Now we need to be back home. You know, I've eaten out everywhere. I've exhausted all the restaurants. We've tried here, we've been there, and we've eaten at the best of places. And I know in travels, people, you know, may Allah bless them, they graciously take you to fine dining and upper end, and they really give you everything. But it's the things of this world. At some point, you get tired. We live in a strange world where the wealthy walk kilometers to digest the food and the poor walk for kilometers to find food. Yes, that's the world in which we live. But when it comes to Jannah, لا يبغون عنها حولا, it will be the pinnacle of happiness, bliss, and you will never get tired. You'll never be tired of your spouse. You'll never be tired of the food. You'll never be tired of the amenities. And what does Allah say? وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. You make a desire, you dream, and there it is. Of course, let's not occupy ourselves in the fantasy at the cost of falling short in the actions. The father tells his son, you'll have a phone of your choice if you excel. And then he abandons his studies and he starts studying all the phones that are available in the market. This phone, this, you know what, gadget, this device, this, you know, device has this benefit, etc. But wait, hang on, are you doing the prerequisites? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 109, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Wow, wow. I mean, how? What a conclusion. What a conclusion. But then it's Quran. And this is what I'm saying, my brother. And this is what I'm saying, my sister. You say, you know what? What a way to retire, man. How he ended his career. No, no, no. That's an insult to compare to the Quran. The choice of Allah's words, the words of, you know, it's just every ayah is so unique, it's so profound, it's so amazing. It's just mind-boggling. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ, say unto them, if the ocean, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا, was converted into حِبْر, into ink, right? مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي, to capture, to record, to write, to document the greatness, the grandeur, the magnanimity of Allah. So convert the ocean into ink. وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ, and convert the trees of this world into pens, bearing in mind the forests and the jungles of the world. With the combination of pens equivalent to the trees and ink equivalent to the oceans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي. The oceans will dry out, the ink will be depleted before you can complete writing and recording the greatness of Allah. I cannot forget my honorable, venerable, august teacher, mentor, and leader on a particular instance during studies. We were preparing for exams, and then he was quizzing me as I was just rehearsing some lessons with my colleagues. And then he said to me, why is this the case? That so much ink, so many pens, equivalent to the trees of this world and the forests and the jungles and you name it. And then, وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا, even if you were to supplement it with a like amount of ink. You know what? One ocean upon another. سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ, bring multiple oceans and whatever you want to, simply because as vast, as huge, as humongous, as enormous the oceans are and the forests are, it is limited, it is finite. And the greatness of Allah is infinite. مُتَنَاهِي غَيْر مُتَنَاهِي, مَحْدُود غَيْر مَحْدُود. So that is great. You know how much water, how many, I don't know, trillions of gallons and whatever you want to say. It's great, but it is finite. It is limited. And when it comes to the mercy of Allah and the greatness and the grandeur of Allah, it is infinite. It has no limits. And that brings us to the last verse of this amazing chapter. And that is verse number 110. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. قُلْ إِنَّمَا, Allah is my witness. Allah is my witness. Allah is my witness. Yesterday I was driving and this happens to me all the time. I will be listening to Quran and as I listen, I just stare and I say, Allah, but how can this not be divine speech? How can this not be your speech? I don't know, how can someone not understand this is divine? I don't know. I just don't know. I lose my understanding and I beg Allah never to deprive me. I beg, I don't want to be coming across in arrogance. But I'm like, the Quran is so convincing, so compelling, so profound, so amazing, so unique. Like in every regard, kamula min kulli al-wujuh. And then we still find beauty in songs and find beauty in other entertainments and things. You know, what did the Allama Busayri say? قَدْ تُنْكِرُ الْعَيْنُ ذَوْءَ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ رَمَدِي وَيُنْكِرُ الْفَمُ طَعْمَ الْمَاءِ مِنْ سَقَمِي. When there's a defect with your eye, then you even doubt and deny the brilliance of the sun. And when you are unwell, then you even say tasty food is not tasty. Oh Allah, activate our taste buds, that for the rest of our life we can be connected to the Quran. The aim was never to end the Quran, but the aim was to always end your life in Quran. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm a human like you. They used to say, oh, he's a human. So Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, tell them you are a human. They objected, they said he walked in the marketplace. Yes, he was a prophet and he walked in the marketplace because he was a human. مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. However, يُوحَى إِلَيَّ, I receive revelation. And that privileges that human who receives revelation over all other humans. And then when it comes to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah had given him privilege over all the Anbiya. Ana nabiyul Anbiya, I am the prophet of Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the best, the choicest, the paragon of his creation. Yuha ilayya, I receive revelation. You feel elated and flattered and conceited because you have a minister on speed dial and the president visited your house. And like, who's he? What's the difference, man? He's a regular person, if not too regular as well. If you really look at many of their private lives, you know what? It is scary. The stench that will come out from that private life is quite horrific. This is the privilege of receiving revelation. When the accusation was leveled against our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with Aisha radiallahu anha and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umm Ruman radiallahu anha, and then suddenly they just seen revelation in process. Can you imagine, like, hey, you're talking to someone, hey, 1 minute, 1 minute, then he puts it on loudspeaker. You know who's this? This is a player. This is a soccer player. This is a prominent scholar. This is an erudite. Oh, what? Yeah, loudspeaker, yeah. You know who's live here on? This guy. You know how prominent he is on? What? No, man. Change your priorities, my brother. Can you imagine Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in communication with receiving revelation? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, yuha ilayya, I receive revelation. Annama ilahukum ilahun wahid, that your Lord is one. Your Lord is one. فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا. If you really are hopeful to meet your Lord, meaning you want goodness and forgiveness, my brother, look at the grave. Just look at it. I sit and think and I just ponder sometimes and look at that hole and look at that corpse and look at how the man has been lowered. Like really, is it worth it for me to continue my grudges, my discords, my sin, my vice? If that's where I rest, if that's where I sleep, وَمَا شَهِدْتُ جَنَازَةً فَحَدَّثْتُ نَفْسِي سِوَى مَا هُوَ مَفْعُولٌ بِهَا وَمَا هِيَ صَائِرَةٌ إِلَيْهِ. Usayd ibn Hudayr رضي الله عنه said, I never attended a funeral, but I told myself, for the entire duration of the funeral, observe nicely, because the same will happen to you. For the entire duration. And I ask you, my brother, if I cannot put my worldly thoughts on hold momentarily at a graveyard, then what will jolt me? What will change my direction? I'm here, I'm seeing where it ends. This is it. Can I be still talking of worldly things while we lower it? Can I still crack a joke? Can I still bring humor there? Is this the moment? فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. The one who is optimistic of meeting his Lord. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then tell him to do good deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And that he should not ascribe anyone in worship with Allah. Of course, that wraps up verse 110 of this chapter. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not ascribe partners with Allah. In its worst form, it is shirk jali, the common form of shirk, disbelief and polytheism. But many scholars have taken it here to be shirkul khafi, the minor form of shirk, and that is to do good actions to impress others. Ibn al-Arabi's quotation is mentioned in Ma'ariful Quran at the concluding verses here. He said that my teacher, Allama Turtushi, used to say, listen, O people, let not your life slip by in rivalry with your peers and your colleagues. I'll outdo him, I'll better him, I will upstage him. This is no. See what Allah says. The rescue, the formula, the salvation is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perform righteous deeds, and do not dilute it with any other motive. Do not dilute it with any other motive. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sincerity in our endeavors. We're living in a world where everything is done to impress others. And others cannot do anything for us. Others cannot do anything for us. The matter rests with Allah. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. The matter rests with Allah. The decree will be passed by Allah. So we need to impress Allah. A concluding word of advice here with regards to these last verses from Inna Alladhina Amanu Wa Amilu Salihat, verse 107 to verse 110. A person asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that I want to get up in the morning and pray tahajjud, but I simply cannot get up. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said to him, recite these verses when you retire to bed, and ask Allah to awaken you and revive you at the time you intend, and Allah will revive you. By Allah, in whose control is my life, I had tens of hundreds of experiences that this ayah has rescued me, and Allah had revived me and awakened me. Often in travel, you are in a flight, you are in a hotel, you are at an airport, you are alone, you are tired, you don't have the energy to change your clock around and to set it to the new time zone and adjust that. And you know what, you're concerned about your prayer, but you are so, what they say, غَلَبَتْنِي عَيْنَايَ, overpowered by tiredness. And I would read this ayah and retire to bed. I swear by Allah, this ayah, through its intervention and the blessings of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will awaken you, be it for tahajjud or be it for fajr. On that note, we wrap up and we conclude. And I ask you to pray for me, pray for my beloved parents, pray for my teachers, pray for the entire, scholars and teachers through whom this knowledge was transmitted. And I ask Allah to forgive me for my shortcomings and for my weaknesses and my deficiencies, because the truth be told, the Quran is something that we can never fully comprehend, nor can we fully convey. And surely I have erred. And I ask Allah not to deprive me because of my mistakes and my folly and my fallible nature. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us connected to the Quran, keep us associated with the Quran. And those of us that are studying, continue studying. Those that have not made a start, this is your opportunity. Between the regrets of yesterday and the hopes of tomorrow lies the opportunity of today. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.